on Communion Sunday, and I appreciate everybody sharing, and Scott, your encouragement this morning, and Pastor Craig, your prayer. And so as we continue in what we're looking at in 2 Corinthians, I've asked you to open your Bible. I'll ask you to open your Bibles. Turn there together to chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. We're continuing on in this section here, chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Give you a moment to grab that, to get it, to find your place in your Bible. Grab your outline. If you look at that outline, you know, you guys are going to look at that outline. If you flip that thing over and you're just going to say, wow, Pastor Ken's, he's getting a little obsessive there and all the things he's got in there. But, you know, God's really, really working on some things in my heart as we go through this section here. And I really have a conviction from the Lord that we necessarily need to go slow here. We are going to be talking about relationships. This is part two of a message I've entitled The Joy of Relationships. I know there's going to be all the way to part five so far. We're only going to get a certain way through this today. I'm going to review some of the things that I talked about last week. I have a lot of the introduction still in our outline, that kind of thing, but it's an important message, important for us to talk about, to learn about what God's Word, for God to minister to us in about our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. And so we're going to stay here for a while, but it's good because it's God's desire and God's Word, and He's leading us there. So before we read the text, let me just tell you again that this section is about Paul's relationship with his church family. And Paul is writing, it's personal what he's writing. He's talking about personal issues, he's talking about his own feelings, he's talking about his own attitudes and his relationship with these people. And what he's doing is he's expressing the joy of a restored relationship. Now sometimes that's hard to express, isn't it? Sometimes there's not words for that. When we have a broken relationship in our life, when there's those things in our heart and that happened in our life, and that God works and God brings restoration in a relationship, it's beyond words at times. But Paul here writes, expressing that, and we know our relationships matter. We know as Christians, as believers in Christ, what God has done. We know it matters every day. We work on them every day. We are in relationships every day. We know that. We understand that. We work out the issues. We know that the Word of God, that we are to relate to God properly. We know we're to relate to other believers properly. We know that we're to relate to the lost properly. We know that. We know that God is working in our life in that way. We all don't do that all the time, and God is at work in our life to bring that about in our life, and we are growing and changing, and God is ministering to that. So let's read our text and hear Paul write about relationships and write about the joy of restored relationships. Chapter 7, verse 5, all the way through 16. So Paul writes this to the church. Verse 5, he says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we are afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort which he was comforted in you. As he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me. So that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I do regret it. For I see that the letter has caused you sorrow, though only for a little while. I now rejoice that you were made sorrowful, but that you were... I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong, and everything you demonstrated yourself to be innocent in a manner. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the offender nor the sake of the one offended, but that your earnestness on our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God. For this reason we have been comforted. And besides our comfort, we rejoice even more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be in truth. His affection abounds all the more toward you, and he remembers the obedience of you all and how you received him with fear and trembling. And I rejoice that in everything I have confidence in you." Now you see the personalness of this and the relational aspect of it, and we're diving in here, and we're gonna break this apart and see what God's Word is teaching us and showing us about Himself and about our relationships and about relationships with Him and all of that. And that's because, you know, God is about relationships, and we said that last week. And I'm gonna do some review. He's about our relationship with Him and ours with Him and Him with us. And as believers in Christ, we know that God is concerned and that we are to be concerned about our relationship with believers and our relationship with the lost. We know that. It's all through God's Word. He reconciled us back to Him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God's concerned for all of this. We're to be concerned for all of this. The Christian life is all about relationships. For through the cross, God through the cross, through Christ, has reconciled us back into relationship with Him. That was 2 Corinthians 5:18 that we looked at last week. That was what God was doing in the Lord Jesus Christ or through Him. And reconciliation in your outline there means restoration of relational peace. So that's what God was doing in Christ, and that's what He did in your life. He restored relational peace with God, and then He's working through our life to bring restoration of relationships in our life, and so we'd be a testimony of God about relationships with God. I mean, it's pretty simple what we talked about. You see, me and you are relational beings, and we know that. We're relational beings. But at the garden, when sin came into the world, our relationship with God was severed. No man could fix it. It was severed. It was broken. And all mankind became separated in the garden at that point. That's what happened. And it became destructive for mankind. It became destructive, destroying the relationships man had with each other. It became, no one had a right one from that point on. Only the ones that in relationship with God were even trying to have a right one, because it destroyed it. So God sent Christ. And at the cross, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship with God became restored. And out of that restoration, our ability to restore, to reconcile, and to have a right relationship with God and others was born. That's when it was birthed in your life. The time that you could actually have a proper relationship with God, a proper relationship with the body of Christ, and a proper relationship with the lost of this world only came through salvation. Before that, it was all sin. And that's God's Word, God's truth, what we've been talking about and what we're getting into and setting up of where we're going in all of this. And we went over and reviewed what Paul taught us from chapter 2, verse 14, all the way to chapter 7, verse 4, in this digression from the narrative that he's been talking about. What he talked to us about was that our relationship with God and His Word and His truth dictates our relationship with God and other people and the lost. That our relationship with Him dictates our living, and it dictates it and teaches us about our relationships. And Paul went all through that. Our relationship with His Word and His truth and God is why we relate to each other like we do. It's why we relate to the lost like we do, and that we can. So let me just give you a brief overview of that section again. And, you know, maybe I review it too much, or maybe I say it too much, but it's just stuck in my heart. It's just stuck in my mind that God has, what He has taught us all the way through 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, all the way through chapter 7, verse 4, what Paul for 6 months has been teaching this body of Christ. For 6 months. For 30 messages about our relationship with God and how it dictates our relationship with each other, you know, because we all are going to triumph in Christ. That's what Paul started with. And that God, in His providence, what He's doing in Christian's life is He is manifesting a sweet aroma of Jesus Christ to God through you. Now, just grab that for a minute. You think that's relational? Through your relationship with God and you talking to God and listening to God and learning God's Word and being obedient to His Word and the Spirit of God leading your life, what God is doing in this world is manifesting a sweet aroma rising up into the nostrils of God, of Christ's glory living in your life to God Himself. And then He's manifesting Christ right out of your life as a sweet aroma to the rest of the body of Christ and to those that don't know the Lord that are perishing. That's what God's Word was telling us about our relationship with God today, right now, right this morning, all the way through this day. Well, that's intense, isn't it? That's relational, isn't it? And then he goes on to say, and I'll paraphrase this, and I won't go too long, but by the power of God, God is manifesting the life of Christ right out of your living, your daily living, that He is doing that. And then Paul writes, wow, who's adequate for that? Anybody want to raise your hand and say you're adequate for that one? What God's doing? He said, but God made us adequate. In our relationship with Him, He made us adequate of servants. He made us capable of servants of a new covenant relationship with God that was brought about with Jesus Christ. He said, and in fact, in chapter 3, verse 18, he says, as you gaze into that word of God and as you gaze into the truth of Christ, as you apply God's word to your life, God is at work in your life transforming your very nature and how you live from glory to glory. Isn't that relational? Come on, you guys, is that relational? Sure is relational. And he says, and as you're living in this life and as all the affliction going on and as the senior ministry grows and grows and grows, and we get more and more people in that thing and the body is decaying away, God says that, you know what, in my relationship with you, though, even though all that's happening, affliction in the world, hardness, difficulties are happening, and the old self or the outside self is decaying away, he said, each day in my relationship with you, I'm renewing your inner man. And I've promised you, I've given you an eternal promise that is true and right because of God through faith in Christ, that one day you'll live in a new earth, in a new heaven, a new earth with a new body in a perfect place. And that so in this life, what you're doing now, chapter 5, verse 9, he says, since all of these promises of God are true, that what awaits us is a new heaven, new earth, new body, in a perfect life with God, living with him forever, in a perfect relationship, in right relationships with each other. He says, we make it our ambition every day. Our biggest ambition is to live a life that pleases the Lord. That's relational. He says, in fact, he says this, the love of life, love of Christ controls us. That's relational. He says, since he died, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the one who died on our behalf. That's relational. And then he said, because I've reconciled you, I've brought you back in relationship with God, 5:18. He said, I've restored a relational peace between you and God through Jesus Christ. I gave you, from God, divine grace, I gave you the ministry of reconciliation. You're to minister in this life what it looks like to have a relational peace with God and with each other. To be a testimony of what the gospel does in somebody's life. He said, I actually placed the reality of reconciliation right in your life, in your salvation. The word, the logos of God, the truth of God is placed right in your life. And your life can be a testimony of what it looks like to have relational peace with God and what God does that in a life to work on having right relationships with one another and right relationships with the world. He said, I made you an ambassador for Christ. In your relationship with God, you are representing the Lord Jesus Christ as his ambassador. You've been given that ministry to do that, and as servants of God, we want to do nothing to hinder that ministry. Paul ends that with that. That's what we've been taught. Church, that's what we've been taught for 30 messages. That's what we've been going through, what we've been learning, and what God has been speaking to our hearts about, what God in his word has been presenting to our heart and our mind and our life of what God has been telling us that it's all about. It's all relationship, right? So now Paul moves back to what he's teaching here. So our lives became about relationships. Look at your outline. Look at your outline right there. Right in the middle there, and I quoted this again from Timothy Lane, none of us ever gets to be in a relationship with a finished person. That's almost funny, isn't it? Your wife, your husband, your kids, your church, your elders, your pastor, none of us are a finished person. God is still at work in each one of our lives. And then look what the second part of the quote, God's redemptive work of change is ongoing in our lives. That means that God, by his redemptive work, is changing us through and by our relationships with him and with each other. Now, Paul goes back to the narrative that's been going on. That's where we pick it up in 7:5. There's been a narrative of 2 Corinthians where Paul has been talking to the church, communicating to the church what's going on in his life and what's happening in their relationship with him. And it's been going on, an ongoing narrative. I told you in chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, that Paul said, hey, you know, I came over there. I came to the church. The false teachers that were there, they were leading you astray from the word of God, from the truth of God's word. And so I ran over from Ephesus, and I came there, and I confronted your sin. I confronted that this didn't need to be happening, and then you guys didn't back me up. You weren't loyal to the Apostle Paul. You weren't loyal to him and his truth. You said, well, we kind of like these guys, that kind of thing. In fact, somebody stood up in the church and told Paul, you're just here manipulating us, and you're just here using us, and all that kind of stuff. And so Paul leaves with a broken heart, sorrow over what is happening with this relationship with this church. And so he writes a severe letter. He writes the truth, hold out in love. That's what he does. He writes right to him. He tells him the truth of God, the truth of God's word, holds out in love. Broken relationship is happening here in the narrative of the text. So Paul's distraught. He speaks to the truth in love. He writes the letter to them, and he sends it with Titus, this letter. And then he goes to Troas, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, and he's seeking Titus. He doesn't find Titus. He's still distraught over sin, broken relationship. He heads to Macedonia. So now look at 7:5. That's where we picked up the text last week. And then look what it says right there in 7:5 and 6. He says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fear within, but God who comforts the oppressed comforted us by the coming of Titus." Now, right there in the text, he's still distraught. He's still upset about the relationship. He went from Troas. He's left there. He went to Macedonia. It's still their relationship hasn't been reconciled. Their relationship hasn't been dealt with. It's still broken. Paul wrote the sorrowful letter. He's concerned about what he said in that. In fact, we'll get into it in some of the other messages later. He says, "You know, I kind of regretted that I wrote it to you, but I didn't regret it, then I regretted it." That kind of happens when you hold people accountable to the things that are breaking relationships with God in our life. You say, "Was I too hard? Was I not hard enough? God, was it good enough? Was it not good enough?" Because we in our heart, we in our mind, we want to do the right thing because we don't want it to be there. And then we question, did we do the right thing because it's still there and all of that. But that's where Paul is at. That's where Paul is at. And he's like, and he's just writing and he's telling him, "That's where I was at. I still had no rest for my flesh. I was depressed. I was downcast, the bottom emotionally and physically." But right in the text, God was comforting him, aiding him, consoling him, guiding him, helping him with him, but nothing changed. And you remember at the end of the last week's message, that was the question. So what changed it? What brought the joy? And I ask you guys to answer that. And we looked all over the text and all that. But the idea here is there's broken relationships. And look at your outline. I want you to see that right under the narrative there. It says broken relationships bring pain. Before I get on to the answer of what restored it and what brought change, I want to talk to you about that broken relationships bring pain, don't they? Yeah? They're designed to do that. We're relational beings. And in our relationship with God, when we've come to God and been reconciled back to God, and then when we do things that doesn't please the Lord, and those are things God, in the discipline as Father, Son, Father, Daughter, how God would be, God in that relational being that we are, he wants us to feel brokenness. He wants us to feel pain. And anytime we have brokenness between a husband and wife or with the kids or with family members or any of that, we feel brokenness, don't we? What happens when we don't feel brokenness? What happens when we don't have pain? When we come indifferent to the things that are going on, indifferent to what God feels like about it, indifferent to the, "Well, you know, those people, I don't care." See, God doesn't want us indifferent. Broken relationships bring pain. They always have. Any kind of broken relationships do, but especially those that are spiritual. It grieves the heart. Let me give you a few examples. When you have a close friend or an extended family member, and that friend or that extended family member defects in some way spiritually, and you say something about it, nothing changes. It brings a breach in your relationship. It strains our relationship. And sometimes that's why we won't say anything, that we won't hold them accountable to God's truth or whatever that might be, because we know that it brings strain in relationships, but God wants us to. We're to hold out the truth in love, recognizing in our own heart our own sin and all of that, but it brings a strain in the relationship, and you grieve, and you have pain, but not only because of the friendship or the family relationship being strained or broken, but also because the person has wandered off into sin, and you know sin is destructive. Amen? Sin doesn't help anybody. Self-gratification isn't helping anybody in the world. Us getting our own way or those happening in that kind of thing, we all know, we all understand sin is destructive. Amen? We all understand that, and so we start to get broken, that you grieve over their broken relationship with God. Same thing in a marriage. When a partner steps into sin with their words or attitudes or actions and you say something and nothing changes, there's pain over the severity or the severing of the relationship. But then there is a compound of grief in this, because the continuing of that sin has a consequence of sin, does it not? See, this is in the relationships how God has ordered this and what God has done. This is how this works. This is how this goes. Same thing happens when parent over child. A child alienates herself from their parent, lives sinfully. You grieve over the broken relationship with you, and it's compounded because you see the broken relationship with God. And a broken relationship with God does not lead to any blessings of life. Period. It just leads to destruction. And so the pain comes. So see, Paul is hurting here deeply, not only because of the severing of the relationship with Paul. Don't take it like Paul's so broken because the Corinthians don't have a relationship with him anymore. And we get broken because we don't have a relationship with people that we love, because something's going on in their life. We held them accountable, and then they're just not gonna deal with it. So there's a severing of that relationship. But it's compounded. For the Corinthians are turning away from God's truth. Let me tell you what God is telling us in the text. Because you understand that the Apostle Paul is the writer of Scripture, do you not? You understand that he is telling them and teaching them and writing to them God's word, God's revelation. So when you reject Paul, you're rejecting God's truth. And Paul knows that. And Paul is broken in pain over that. They're actually rejecting God's way, God's truth, believing false teaching. And he's broken over that in his heart and mind. And in our relationship with God, that's where God is going to grow and take each and every one of us. And that is the compounding brokenness in our heart and our mind. And the pain we feel are the people that are in our life in their brokenness, not and turning away from God's word. That's what's going to come out of our relationship with God. Yes, it's hard that there's not a relationship with you and them, but you're holding out God's word and God's truth and wanting them to turn to the Lord, and they're not, and you're upset because they're broken relationship with God. That's what he's really getting to us here. That's what he's really getting to the relationship that we're to have with him and with others. So Paul wrote this severe letter confronting their sin, and he waited. And waited and waited and waited and waited. And we ended last week. So what brought the change in the relationship, Paul and the church? What produced the joy? And we looked at verse 9 and 10. Look at it with me, and this is what produced it. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance, for you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Their relationship with God was restored. They had godly sorrow over their relationship with God and them turning from God's truth, God's word, and they even how it affected their relationship with Paul. And that led to repentance. They turned from sin, embraced God's truth, embraced the relationship that they had with Paul, and they said, Paul, we want to reconcile. Listen, that's the way it is in relationships. That's the way it goes. That's how it is with your friends, your family, your spouse, your kids, and the lost. You're just holding out God's word, God's truth, making sure there's no sin in your heart, asking God to show you that your heart is holding it out and dealing with your own sin. Then you have to wait, because you can't change anybody. You have to do what God would have you do in your relationship with them, and then God has to work out their relationship with God. That's the only thing that's going to produce change, God's redemptive work, and produce joy. Now look at me for a moment. Those people that are in your life that are trying to work in your relationship with them and you and that kind of thing, that's what they're waiting on, your relationship with God. Because that's the only thing that produces change and brings the joy of the Lord. First and foremost, the teaching that we get here is that we are the ones that are holding out the truth to somebody that we're wanting God to work in their life. And our desires for us to live for the Lord, that they would use us to bring restoration to them. It could be even to Christ or to God, or bring restoration to us through what God would be doing in their life. But there's a broken relationship, and we're on this side of it like Paul. And we're waiting, and we're holding out the truth of God in love, and we're doing all of that. Now, I've spoken that two messages. That's kind of a review with some added things from last week. But guess what the text is about? We're going to dive into the text for a few more weeks here, but guess what the text is about? The text is written to us that we are the Corinthians, that we are the ones from the perspective, that we are the ones causing the disruption, causing the breach, causing the separation. And now guess what, church? That pertains to all of us. That ministers to all of us. Sometimes I'll get into some things here. Sometimes we get into the idea that we're the victim or we're the judge or we're the corrector. But what God wants us to see as he wrote this word and what Paul is talking about, as we look into this section of Scripture, we're going to see seven insights. Now, if you look at the bottom of your outline, it says seven insights into broken relationships, and if you flip it over, the first one's loyalty. That's all we're going to get to today. I just have a few minutes, but that's okay. We're just kind of go along here and keep saying some of the same things and letting God's word come to our heart, because God wants us to deal with our relationships with him and with each other, because God wants to bring the redemptive work of change into all of our lives. And we hold some of the relationships in our life at this length, and we don't deal with some of them at that length, and we just kind of put these things off. And God wants to work out all of that in our life right now through the Word of God. We've been learning about what our relationship with God is for 30 weeks and what God has said and how it's to dictate how we relationship with each other. Now we're coming right in here and how we're going to get insights into restoring broken relationships, into genuine desires for real relationships. We're going to dig a little bit deeper here. And first of all, these are from our perspective, that we caused the broken relationship, that we severed the relationship, that we're sinning. That's what we're going to look from it for, because that applies to each and every one of us in the room. And that's what we want to look at and learn from God. How are we going to live in this life when we've done the things that have severed relationships, when we've lived some of the life that isn't put the relationship in the right manner? How are we going to have genuine desires from God? How are we going to do genuine things from God to reach out, to bring restoration to the relationships that we have lived in a certain way and brought a brokenness? First and foremost with God, and then with others. And that's what we're going to look at, because it's really what Paul is teaching in the text. He's talking about his emotions, his attitudes, and all this, and the joy of restored relationships. But he lays out seven insights of what brought the joy to him was what the Corinthians did. So we want to make sure. Are you with me, church? It's like, darn, Ken, Pastor Ken, why are you going to deal with us? Can't we just deal with them and help us deal with them? You are the them. I'm the them, right? Come on, you guys, right? Don't we do that in our heart? Let me be real with you. Don't we do that in our heart? Oh, teach me how to deal with them. Somebody raise their hand and give me an amen on that one. Amen. Well, guess what? God's going to teach us how to deal with us, because we are the them. And as soon as we think it's them that the problem is, we have become the victim. And that's what we do as people. And I'm the judge, and I'm the corrector, and I'm the victim. And if they would just get it right, then I would be right. But God wants us to deal with us. We're the them, okay? Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to just go back and let's just deal with them? Let's deal with us. That's what God wants us to do. Deal with us. Deal with our relationships. Foundational things. This changed your life. For number one here, loyalty, right here that we're going to look at, changed my entire week. I'm a different man, and I will be, because of what God taught me here. Now I'm going to have to keep working on it, because God's redemptive work is an ongoing process, and I haven't arrived yet. Right? And I live with people in my life that God's redemptive work is an ongoing process. I don't live with perfect people yet. Some of them might argue with that about you. So here's that, seven insights into them, restoring broken relationships from that side, and that's what we're going to get into. And I know that was long, but you know, I knew it was going to be a shorter time to give a message today, and I wanted to set all that in our heart. And I wrote this about that. Our desire as we live for the Lord is that he would use us to bring restoration in other people's lives to him, and to bring restoration to us through Christ. That only happens when I deal with me. When I get the wrong thing and I say, God, you have to deal with them. That only comes from when I say, God, will you deal with me? Change me. I'll go with that. I'm going to trust you for that. It brings in complete different peace to your life. So here we're going to go look at 7 insights. Oh, and I got an example here for you before we get into the first one. The first insight is an indicator of genuine desire and real restoration is loyalty. But I got an example because this, obviously God gave me this example this week. And so you guys all, I let the cat out of the bag. This was me this week. And then God showing me, oh yeah, nice loyal guy, Ken. If I quit listening to Krista and caring about her needs and focus on self and not staying connected with her and I sin, in words, actions, and attitudes, and she comes and says something about it, speaks to me in truth and love, how would I respond? Would I argue with her about, you know, she's wrong, or do I say something about, well, you know what, I didn't mean it, you know, life's made it happen that way, do you know what's going on in my life, do you know the stress I'm having, do you, you know, life, all those are true. They're all realities. Here's things, the first thing they respond is loyalty. This is what I want in my life and what I want in my heart, what God wants in our life. He wants loyalty. Look at verse 6 and 7. He says this, but God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort which he was comforted in you. And he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me. That's what I want to have for Krista. I want to have longing, mourning, and zeal. And I want God to work that in my life. And I want God to bring it. I want to, in the midst of whenever I've caused the breach, when I've caused the severance, when I've caused that, when it's something in there, somebody holds it accountable to me, what I want to well up in my heart quickly is a loyalty to that one. What did Titus reported back to Paul? Hey, the Corinthians are longing for you, Paul. They're mourning for you, Paul. They zeal for you, Paul. One author wrote this. This is the most desirable of human virtues in terms of human responsibility. Let me read that again. He said this is the most desirable of human virtues in terms of human relationships. This is the virtue that we want to have for each one of that we're in relationship with. If we want a longing. We want a mourning. We want a zeal for each other. You could put it this way. Pastor Craig says it all the time. This is what he says. We're just going to be for each other. We've determined in our heart, we determined willingness in our thing, whatever happens in our life, whatever goes on, I'm going to just be for you. I'm going to work that in my life. You know what? These are emotional things. From the Word of God, these are emotional things that Paul says. They communicated through Titus, and they said, Paul, we got a longing for you, and we got a mourning for you, and we got a zeal for you. And Paul said, I rejoice. Because the work of God, when God's redemptive work happens in your life and my life, in relational aspects, there's a mourning, there's a zeal, there's a longing for that relationship to be the right way. You catching what I'm saying here? This is what Paul is teaching. This is the desire, the insight from my side when I'm the problem that I want to bring to the table is loyalty. These three together communicate loyalty, the relationship, longing. It means a strong, earnest desire, a yearning. The Corinthians communicated a yearning to see Paul and have the relationship restored. Corinthians said, in a way, Paul, we were disloyal, and we want to be loyal to our relationship, yearning to see you and restore it. That's the way I want to be with my wife. When I'm this side of the problem, when God shows me that these are the things that I was doing, I'm bringing a breach, I'm not seeking the relationship that God wants me to be in it, and I'm held accountable, it comes to me, I want this to come up in my life to say, man, I was disloyal to our relationship. I want to have a longing, I want to have a yearning, I want to have a zeal, I want to have a mourning. Well, some of you can say, well, Pastor Ken, I don't have these desires in some of my relationships. There ain't no desire like that there. Someone might even say, oh, you know, to my spouse, there's no longing there. There's no zeal. There's no mourning. There's anything like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, you want to hear what the problem is? Your problem is your relationship with God, not them. That's the problem. That's the revealing of God's redemptive work in your relationship that you have in your life, that you breach a relationship with your spouse, that your mouth has an attitude, that your mouth brings out some sin and has some that kind of thing, and you say some things, and you can hurt their heart, and they can just go, oh, and all of that, and then your heart doesn't well up and go, wow, I don't want it to be like that. I got a longing here, man. I don't want it to live like that. I don't want it to be like that. If that doesn't come up, the problem isn't them, or the problem is your relationship with God. Because in your relationship with God, you know what the Holy Spirit that dwells in you is going to bring up into your life? a longing for you not to be that way in your relationship and to restore it. Isn't that true? Isn't that right? And isn't that why Paul is rejoicing? Because they went to God and God brought this longing and mourning and zeal back for Paul. And that represents God's word because it's the Apostle Paul. And God brought a zeal. If you don't have a zeal for God's word and his truth and mourning when you have sin over it and a longing to understand it and apply it to your life, your relationship problem is you and God, and that's it. Because these are from God. Boy, that's a great indicator, isn't it? That means you and me got some relationship problems with God, right? Yeah. Right. Right? That's the truth, right? And so where do we go? What do we do? What do we deal with? Well, if the world was different, or he wasn't like that, or she wasn't like that, or if I had a car, or it didn't break down, or if the job paid me more, no, we don't go there. We go, we sing to Jesus, don't we? Don't we? That's what people in relationship with God do. You see what Paul is teaching us? Well, shoot, Pastor Ken falls so darn short of that that I've been broken all week. Because I don't sing to Jesus. I complain to God. You got broken relationships in your life, do you not? Do you sing to Jesus or do you complain? Do you go to him and say, help me, God, with these things that are in my life? Help me, man. I am just like, wow, I want to take that person out. I'll never forget somebody telling me that they were having a hard time. Somebody walked across the crosswalk, and they were walking across the crosswalk, and they saw him in that, and they said, God, why do you allow certain people to be born? And what's that telling us about our heart? And, you know, they told me that, and I said, well, I'm not surprised. I know you, and I know me, and that's what comes out of our mouth. But see, this is real. This isn't learn the word of God. This isn't learn an attitude or a principle of God. And then you do these things with God. And then your relationship with God is this. This is about your relationship with God. And the word of God. And the truth of God. And the reality of God. And the reality of who you are. And what he's called you to be in this world. And if you cause breach in a relationship and are indifferent to it, God is wanting to use that to bring you to him. Because he doesn't want you that way. That's what this is about. That's what Paul is teaching here. These are, you just don't teach your, you know what, this is what happens. We teach our kids to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to turn and go a different way. And we need to, and we need to teach that to them, the truth of God's word and the reality of applied to them. But it's not a principle to do. It's out of a relationship. Forgive me, I want to go a different way. It isn't about turning on a light. So do the right thing. Go to mom, tell her you forgive mom and repent. Don't do that again. It's about in your relationship with mom and with God, do you have anything in your heart and mind that's just kind of broken over that really hurt mom's feelings? Well, no, I don't. Well, let's talk to God about that. Because in our relationship with God, you know what he's going to do in our life? He's going to make us feel really bad that we did that. Because that's what he wants from us. Because it's about our relationship with each other. And we've been forgiven and saved and sanctified and we have heaven and we're not going to receive the punishment of God and we have heaven, but he doesn't want to let us live indifferent to our relationships here. Let me finish up this first point. I'm already over time, but I ask for forgiveness. It's Pastor Craig's fault. No, what he shared was incredible today. For it applies to all that we're learning here. Have you heard God today? I can't get over how much God wants to minister to our lives and be real with us. Second part. Second characteristic that communicates loyalty, mourning, means to wail, a lamentation. It's a real strong word, to be heard over. The idea is comparable to Matthew 26:75, when Peter denied the Lord for the third time. And immediately this rooster crows. Then Peter remembers the word of Jesus. He said, before a rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. He looks up into the face of Christ. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Let me say that right. He went out and he wept bitterly. That word that are used for wept bitterly, you can change the same word for mourned here. He mourned deeply. See, you mourn over the brokenness that you've caused. That's who God made us in our reconciliation as a new creature. That's what he brought to our life and to our heart. That's what he brought to us. We mourn over the disloyalty to the relationship like Peter. And again, I say, if you don't have any mourning of being disloyal, that's not there. I don't have it. I don't feel it. You've become in your mind the victim. You've become in your mind the judge, the one who's going to fix them. Your relationship with God is off. And God would never leave you there. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And he came into the world, John 15, 16. He came into the world to bring conviction of sin, and he dwells in you. It says the world of sin, and now he dwells of you. And so the Holy Spirit is there telling you, convicting of you, that is, you're causing a breach. That's disloyal to God, disloyal to the relationship. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And if you're indifferent to that, your relationship with God is off. And that's what God is wanting us to deal with in our life. So God's redemptive work would bring change. That's what it's doing. The Holy Spirit convicts me of the things in my life, and I say, wow, Lord, I don't want that in my life. I want this in my life. And God brings a longing. He brings a mourning over that. I brought a breach to my relationships that you know, I just don't feel good about them. Man, this has been really hard all week because God's been showing me these things. And interesting enough, as I've been kind of sharing this and going through this, this has been happening in Krista's life this week. You know, she's just been real sensitive to these things happening in her heart and mind, and we will be too, because that's what God does. He's going to show us these things. He's going to show us where our disloyalty, we haven't been loyal, we haven't been longing, we haven't been mourning, and the last one is zeal. Zealous, the word zeal, this is what Paul is referring to here. He says zeal, the third one in here. It means zealous in the pursuit of good. It's an interesting word, combination of two strong emotions, love and hate. A strong love that hates. Zeal produces a strong love that hates anything that would harm its object, the love of God. Zeal, zealous, the pursuit of what is good. We'll close with this. From this side of the relationship, the side that has been disloyal to the relationship, the side that has caused some sort of breach out of your relationship with God, he will bring redemptive work of change and give you longing, mourning, zeal for the relationship to be reconciled. That's what God does to those given the ministry of reconciliation as servants of the new covenant relationship with God, for it displays the good news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? That is absolutely true. Right out of the Word of God, you are a minister of the of reconciliation. He has placed in you the reality, the logos, the truth of what it looks like to be reconciled to God. And as servants of a new covenant relationship with God, in this new covenant through Jesus Christ, if you come to God and God's in your relationship with God and you cause a breach in a relationship with someone else, God is going to bring a longing and a mourning and a pursuing of making it right into your heart. It's whether we respond to it or not. And if it's not there, if you're here today and they say, well, it's just not there, I just don't have that. Well, you know what? God knows that. It's not there in me all the time. It's not there in you all the time. It's where we got to go in our relationship with God and talk to God and come to him and say, you know what? I just don't even have this mourning over that happened in that relationship. And in your relationship with God, he's going to bring that, because he's still at work in each one of our lives. He's going to bring that emotion from God into our lives. It all is about loyalty, isn't it? Out of our loyalty to God, God makes us loyal to each and one another. And that's what Paul is rejoicing over. For out of their loyalty to God, to repent, we'll look at the other ones, turn, God put in their heart a loyalty back for Paul in God's word and God's truth. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning and for how we briefly touched this, and I'm excited about what's what's here in the text and what we're going to be learning as we go along here in these insights into this, Lord. And we come before you and want to pray, Lord. We ask that you would help us. We all fall short of embracing your redemptive work of change in our life. We have all of the reasons that we do. We have all of the struggles that we do. But I would pray, Lord, that us as the family of God, the body of Christ, would come to you real today. Own up to the things that are in our life that are there that we know about. And ask you to come and work in our lives. Help us, Lord. Father, we call upon you. Give us a willingness. Bring a desire. Have your Spirit work in our lives. Help us in our mind where we think we're the victim. Help us to represent you as ambassadors of Christ, as the ones that have received the grace of God. That our relationship with you was restored through Jesus Christ. That you have been loyal to us in every moment of time. And you showed it, you displayed it through Jesus Christ. Help us with our bitterness. Help us with our negativity. Help us with, you know everything here today, Lord. And the reality is we need you more than we acknowledge. We need you desperately in a lot of ways. We need to turn from rebellion. We need to embrace your truth. But we are in relationship with you. You know what is on our heart. You know what is there. And I just pray for us as a church to come before you today, at some time today, and reconnect in a real way. He knows everything about us. Not one thing is hidden. He knows every motive, every thought, every action, and then still loves us. What an incredible thing. We thank you for the worship today. We thank you for Christ and his coming and bringing redemption. We pray for our relationship with you to grow. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for being patient today. We're dismissed.